same session for more health tips, and that's how you can have a better quality of life. It's easy. Your health is your choice, so choose well. And say a prayer for this crazy, crazy country. God bless you, my friends, and God bless this great country.
The school year is starting soon. Whether at home or in the classroom, Family Natural Foods can help support health and success. All natural products can help boost your immune health and be your first lines of defense for both you and the kids. Maybe your child needs help focusing and concentrating. Ask about natural alternatives from Terry Naturally. Prepare now for a successful, healthy school year at Family Natural Foods, West Grand Avenue, Wisconsin Rapids.
My friend Teddy almost set his house on fire. He used a counterfeit, you know, a fake wall charger. He had to go to the hospital.
My big sister Jenna's face turned bright red. She was just showing people online how to use a new cream. She still has the scars.
My brother's friend Billy had to jump off his motor scooter when it caught fire. He fell and got hit by a car. He broke his leg, blew his chances to play basketball in college.
My BFF Chloe was riding her bike and hit a ditch. Her helmet broke in two. Now, she has a brain injury.
There is a cost to buying cheap. Do you want to pay the price?
Real products are tested for safety. Protect yourself. Don't fall for fake products.
Visit ncpc.org/goforreal. Brought to you by the National Crime Prevention Council and the United States Patent and Trademark Office.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time. Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Medical unit, respond to 102 Maple Avenue, possible stroke victim.
When stroke occurs, you have 60 minutes to win or lose the race of your life. There are new treatments, but you must get to a hospital fast. If you suddenly feel weakness on one side, have trouble speaking, walking, or seeing, it could be a stroke. Call 911. Get to a hospital. Because how you spend the next 60 minutes could determine how you spend the rest of your life. Stroke. Know the signs. Act in time. A message from the National Institute of Neurological Disorders and Stroke.
How do you locate a support group, professional association, or local organization? United Way's 211 will provide the answers to these questions and more. 211 is your connection to programs and services in central Wisconsin. Dial 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In this ever-changing world, it is often hard to find the program or service you're looking for. United Way's 211 can assist you locating services. 211 is free and confidential. Trained referral specialists will help you get connected 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. Every day, people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. With thousands of programs in the database, they can assist you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211.
If you've been listening, you know you can get your free credit report at annualcreditreport.com. But how do you use it? Paying attention to key pieces of information on the report, including your personal information, open credit accounts, and credit inquiries, can help you not only understand your credit standing and catch any errors, but regularly checking your credit report may also help you identify potential fraud or identity theft. Go to annualcreditreport.com to get started with your free credit report, and keep listening for more tips. This message has been brought to you by the United Way of Southwood and Adams County's Financial Stability Coalition.
Keep up on the day's news, talk, and sports on Wisconsin's home for locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
The
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Stacey Lynn in Washington. A deadly and destructive earthquake struck Morocco last night. Over 800 are reported dead. Officials fear that number could rise even more. Here's CBS's Remy Innocencio.
Fear Friday night in Marrakesh from the strongest quake to hit Morocco in a century. People, dazed, fled into the streets. Buildings crumbled, showering them and cars with rubble. More aftershocks rippled across the region. Our house rocked, said this man. Everyone was scared. I heard people screaming. People can't go back in their houses because they're still afraid. I was asleep, and my bed started to move, said another. I didn't believe it, but then it shook again and again.
Well, Lee is no longer a Category 5 hurricane. Weather Channel meteorologist Kelly Cass.
Hurricane Lee has weakened over the last 24 hours, but not enough. It's still a major hurricane. We're talking a Cat 3 with winds of 115 miles per hour. Thankfully, missing the islands here, north of Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands, but still the wave action significant for those islands. And we're going to continue to see it moving at a pretty good clip today.
President Biden's at the G20 summit in New Delhi, India. Our Ed O'Keefe is there.
The leaders of the world's 20 largest economies are focused primarily on economic issues, not security issues. But we got word just a little while ago from the Indian Prime Minister that a joint statement from the group will make mention of concerns with the war in Ukraine, something President Biden has been eager to point out on this trip.
Former White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows tried to get his Georgia election interference case moved from state to federal court because he says his actions were just part of the job. CBS News legal analyst Jessica Levinson tells us the judge disagreed.
What the judge said here is essentially, I think you acted outside the scope of your duties. I think that you went beyond what is in the job description of a chief of staff.
Off to South Dakota, where former President Trump held a campaign rally last night. And among his biggest supporters, Governor Kristi Noem.
Now, some people can't figure out his popularity. Why are people so loyal to him? I'm convinced it's because we have never seen anything or anyone like him ever before.
Football season is here. According to an annual survey by the American Gaming Association, 73.5 million NFL fans are making bets. 24 of 50 states have online sports betting markets now, with Kentucky, Maine, North Carolina, and Vermont about to launch theirs. This is CBS News.
You need to hire fast and hire right? You need Indeed. Their all-in-one hiring platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates efficiently. Visit Indeed.com/...
Wisconsin Decides 2024. The road to the White House begins here. And Civic Media delivered with all-day coverage of the first Republican presidential primary debate.
The only network with every show live from Milwaukee.
And you heard all the youth votes going to turn out and make a difference.
Abortion, climate, gerrymandered maps. Those three things matter to young people.
Conversation you won't find anywhere else.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
All right, son, time to put out this campfire.
Dad, we learned about this in school.
Oh, did you now? Okay, what's first?
Smokey Bear said to.
First drown it with a bucket of water, then stir it with a shovel.
Wow, you sound just like him.
Then he said,
if it's still warm, then do it again.
Where can I learn all this?
It's all on SmokeyBear.com with other wildfire prevention tips, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Locally grown, 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Experience Nightlight, September 8th and 9th from 5 until 10:30 p.m. Presented by Joy Engine. The dazzling spectacle is an immersive 4D light festival taking place in Milwaukee's historic Mitchell Street neighborhood. Digital animations, dance, music, art, and fashion combine to create a visual, family-friendly sensory experience outside of 710 West Historic Mitchell Street, home of Mitchell Street Arts. The event is family-friendly and free to the public. Don't miss this iconic event. Nightlight, where art comes to life. Information at joyengine.org.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR.
High temperatures reach up to 78 this afternoon under mainly clear skies, southwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight, chance for scattered showers, lows dip down to about 56. Overcast skies tomorrow, chance for scattered rain showers, high temperatures reach up to 70. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 51.
From the home of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news, talk, and sports station.
Presenting us are those folks who truly do just that, committed to it, do that work through their intellectualism, their industry, their focus, their humanity, and their diplomacy. Again, their articulate ways of describing their missions, their views, their perspectives on the world. One of the ways which that can happen, of course, is to engage in the political process. Becoming involved in politics is an important aspect, if in fact you're inclined to do that. Showing up at meetings of elected representatives, sometimes even appointed representatives in our communities, asking them questions about the important things going on in our communities, becoming involved in political parties, again, if you are inclined to do that, by virtue of the things that they do to select candidates, and ensuring that as a part of that process, you've got folks who are truly among those people who should be truly representative of our nation, of our state, of our communities, asking them the specific questions about what qualifies them to serve in those positions. A lot of those political things are virtually critically important to the future of our nation. They're not necessarily in our Constitution, not necessarily in our statutes, but they're the predicates or the bases upon which we get those folks into office, and so incredibly important to become involved in that exploration of the ways in which people become elective officers and also are appointed to these various positions. That's one of the ways in which you can, of course, engage in that kind of activity. The other one, of course, is voting. Voting, an all-important issue which we talk about on a regular basis here on Morning Cannolis. And that leads into the first item on our elaborate, our very extensive syllabus this morning having to do with voting. And something that happened just this past week in the area of voting rights and the Voting Rights Act in particular. We have chatted a lot in the past about a case called Allen versus Milligan. Allen versus Milligan, a Supreme Court case coming out of the United States Supreme Court just this past June, on June 8th, a decision by the United States Supreme Court under Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act coming out of the state of Alabama. The predicates for that, the factual basis for that, again, this notion that representatives in the state legislatures should be drawing lines following every single census that's taken every 10 years that are truly representative to ensure that people who are elected to those offices, specifically congressional offices, but also state offices, to assembly and senate offices in the particular states, that those lines are drawn in ways that are truly ensuring that the franchise, the right to vote, is guaranteed to every single person in that state. And in Allen versus Milligan, the population, of course, in the state of Alabama, 28% or so of the population in Alabama, people of color, black residents in particular, those folks who are responsible, of course, along with all members of the residents of the state of Alabama, for ensuring that they elect to offices, both federal and state, people who are truly representative of them. And what happened was that the state legislature, you may recall, in Alabama, made some decisions, did some line drawing, again, in connection with its obligatory responsibility to draw those lines back in 2021 and 2022. And they did so in a way that basically disenfranchised a significant portion of that 28% of the population, people of color in Alabama. The case went up to the United States Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court said, to a surprise to many of us, that under the Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act of the 1960s, that the state of Alabama, the legislature in particular, had indeed violated the law and was, by virtue of the line drawing that it had done, kept representatives from being elected to districts in Alabama that could, in fact, be majority black districts. In particular, the Supreme Court, a majority of the Supreme Court, including Brett Kavanaugh and John Roberts, said that the Alabama legislature legislature's got to go back and do that again, got to do it over to ensure that that 28% and perhaps more people in the state of Alabama are truly represented by virtue of the ways in which the lines are drawn. The opportunities to elect from at least is what the Supreme Court said, two majority black districts that could indeed represent more directly and accurately the population of the state of Alabama. State of Alabama then back in July of this year went back and did that examination, reconsidered the line drawing that it had done a couple of years or so earlier, and surprisingly, or maybe not surprisingly, came back and said, we're not going to do what the United States Supreme Court has told us to do. They, instead of identifying two majority black districts that should indeed represent the population, the entire population of the state of Alabama, including people of color, the legislature in Alabama came back and said, no, we're only going to identify one of those. And they justified that. They justified that, or attempted to do so, on the basis that the lower court decision had some wiggle room, they said, in connection with the language that was the prescriptive aspect of this, telling them what to do. And this came back again to the three-judge panel in the Southern District of Alabama, looking over all of this, again, in the wake of the Supreme Court decision, telling the legislature to redo their maps, the legislature basically saying, we're not doing that. We're not doing what the Supreme Court has said. And that then prompts the review of the most recent non-decision, non-compliance by the legislature, by this three-judge panel in the Northern District of Alabama, the Southern Division of that district. And those judges are Judge Marcus, Circuit Court Judge Marcus, Judge Manasco, and Judge Moore. All of those last two are district court judges. This is a three-judge panel, again, under the civil rights laws and the Voting Rights Act in particular, reviewing what the legislature has done for a second, arguably a third time in this case. And what did this particular three-judge panel do just this past week? Just this past week, in one of the major decisions of our time, said the Supreme Court is indeed the Supreme Court. You need to follow what the Supreme Court has said. The court, in a 217-page opinion, went through all of the history in this case and described again the fact that the initial lawsuit here alleged that there was racial gerrymandering in violation of the Constitution and in particular in violation of Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act of 1965. And in this omnibus 217-page order of just this past Tuesday, the three-judge panel coming out of the Northern District of Alabama, the Southern Division there, said that the decision by the legislature in Alabama could indeed not be supported by what the Supreme Court had said and what the three-judge panel had previously said. Said that because federal law dictates that the Alabama legislature should have the first opportunity to draw a remedial map, we gave the legislature that opportunity. That opportunity has now come and gone. Noting in particular in this order of just this past Tuesday, on July 21, the legislature enacted and Governor Ivey, the governor of Alabama, signed into law a new congressional map. But just like the 21 plan that had been the subject of the challenge to the Supreme Court, enjoined by this court, stopped by the court, the plan includes only one majority black district, and that's the basis upon which the three-judge panel once again said, you're not in compliance with the Supreme Court. When we come back after this first break, we're going to talk more about this all-important case coming out of this three-judge panel, coming out of Alabama, that describes once again what it means to vote in America, important for all of us. Stay with us for that discussion.
Broken bricks, falling fences, damaged doors. Gorilla Glue, of course. Gorilla Glue is incredibly strong, 100% waterproof, and bonds virtually everything. Gorilla Glue, for the toughest jobs on planet Earth.
O'Reilly Auto Parts Loaner Tool Program offers more than 80 specialty tools. Refundable deposit required. Stop by O'Reilly today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts. This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Experience Nightlight, September 8th and 9th from 5 until 10:30 p.m. Presented by Joy Engine. The dazzling spectacle is an immersive 4D light festival taking place in Milwaukee's historic Mitchell Street neighborhood. Digital animations, dance, music, art, and fashion combine to create a visual, family-friendly sensory experience outside of 710 West Historic Mitchell Street, home of Mitchell Street Arts. The event is family-friendly and free to the public. Don't miss this iconic event. Nightlight, where art comes to life. Information at joyengine.org.
DoorWorks. I have a serious problem, and I don't know if I need you or an exorcist. My garage door opens all on its own without me pushing the button or anything.
Ma'am, let me do a little investigating, and I'll have an answer for you in no time. I discovered the problem, but it took a little detective work. Your equipment is absolutely fine.
Is it possessed, then?
No, ma'am. It's much simpler than that. Sometimes a low battery can trigger the door to open randomly. We've cast out your dead battery, and your door is working fine.
From Alexander Field to the Central Business District, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 57.
We are back this morning on Morning Cannolis. It is Saturday, September 9th, 2023. Thank you once again for joining me this hour and hopefully next hour as well as we talk through a great variety of events, circumstances, news items coming out of government law and the aspiration for justice in America. Right before the break, began our discussion this morning with this all-important decision of this past Tuesday coming out of a three-judge panel in Alabama finding for at least a second time that the Alabama legislature had indeed violated Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act by drawing lines with respect to the federal representation and also state representation in that state, basically disenfranchising at least 28% of the population, people of color in that state. The decision by this three-judge panel saying, number one, that you need to follow what the Supreme Court has said. The Supreme Court spoke about this in June, finding again that there had been violation of the law, telling the legislature to do exactly what the law required, legislature coming back and saying, we're not doing, Supreme Court, what you told us to do. Now this three-judge panel say, oh, yes, indeed, you will do that. And we'll get to the remedy that the three-judge panel imposed in just a moment or so. Along the way, the three-judge panel says this to the legislature, putting its place, but also saying unequivocally that the record before us is complete. Before the three-judge panel, it includes evidentiary material submitted during the injunction proceedings that predated all of this. Also, expert reports, deposition transcripts, and other evidence submitted during this remedial or curative stage, if you will. We also have the benefit, the court says, of the parties' briefs, a hearing, three amicus briefs, that is, briefs submitted by parties to the court, parties who are not friends of the court, people who are not parties formally, but nonetheless who are involved in the issue in some way, and also a statement of interest by, yes, indeed, the Attorney General of the United States of America. His name, of course, Merrick Garland. The state, the panel's decision says, concedes that the 2023 plan, this most recent plan, does not include the additional district that is required by the Supreme Court. Indeed, the state has explained that its position is that notwithstanding our order and the Supreme Court's order as well, the legislature was not required to include that additional district in its 2023 plan. And here's where the language becomes all important. The court goes on to say this. This concession by the legislature that we're not doing what the Supreme Court told us to do controls this case. Court goes on to say this, because the 2023 plan does not include an additional district of the sort described by the Supreme Court and previously by this court, We conclude that the 2023 plan does not remedy the Section 2 violation that we found and the Supreme Court affirmed. We also conclude, under the controlling Supreme Court test, that the plaintiffs here are substantially likely to establish that this plan violates Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act. Under that act, the three-judge panel says, the statutory framework and binding precedent, the appropriate remedy is, as we already said, a congressional districting plan that includes either an additional majority black district or some additional district in which black voters have an opportunity to elect a representative truly of their choice. Goes on to say this: we discern no basis in federal law to accept a map the state admits falls short of this required remedy. And so what does the court do? What does this three-judge panel do? It's not going to send it back to the legislature. They've had two opportunities already to abide by the rule of law and have decided not to do that. The court says this: based on the evidence before us, including the testimony from the legislators, we have no reason to believe that allowing the legislature still another opportunity to draw yet another map will yield a map that includes an additional district of the sort described by the previous orders. Moreover, counsel for the state, that is the legislature, has informed the court that even if the court were to grant the legislature yet another opportunity to draw that map, it would be practically impossible for the legislature to do that in advance of the 2024 election cycle. In other words, time has now run up. And so the court says this: because we grant relief on statutory grounds and a fundamental and longstanding principle of judicial restraint requires that we avoid reaching constitutional questions in advance of deciding them, we are reserving the constitutional issues raised by various cases and positions and instead doing this. We have reached the conclusion, these conclusions in our order, that only that after conducting this exhaustive analysis of an extensive record under well-developed legal standards, as the Supreme Court instructs, we do not take lightly, the court goes on to say, federal intrusion into a process ordinarily reserved for the state legislature. But we have now said twice that the Voting Rights Act case, this one, is not close. And indeed, that's what the Supreme Court had said as well in its decision back in June, finding that there had been a history, a very virulent history of discrimination in voting rights in Alabama. And then goes on to say this, which is a part of the media attention to this all-important decision of this earlier this week. The court goes on to say, we are deeply troubled that the state enacted a map that the state readily admits does not provide the remedy we said federal law requires. We are disturbed by the evidence that the state delayed remedial proceedings, but ultimately did not even nurture the ambition to provide the required remedy. And we are struck by the extraordinary circumstances we face. We are not aware, this three-judge panel goes on to say, of any other case in which a state legislature, faced with a federal court order declaring that its electoral plan unlawfully dilutes minority votes and requiring a plan that provides an additional district, responded with a plan that the state concedes does not provide that district. The law requires the creation of that additional district that affords black Alabamians, like everyone else, a fair and reasonable opportunity to elect candidates of their choice. The plan, advanced, articulated, voted on, and approved by the governor, plainly does not do so. That's strong language coming out of any court, including a three-judge panel convened to enforce the Voting Rights Act of the 1960s. We're going to talk more about the reason why this is so important for us here in Wisconsin, why it's so important for everyone in our nation to understand what's going on there in Alabama and what it says about the future of the enforcement of voting rights here in America and right here in the state of Wisconsin. Stay with us for that discussion right after this next break.
I know that it's pretty up there. We can go hiking on Tuesday. With you, I'd walk anywhere. California has worn me quite thin. I just can't wait to see you again. Come Monday, it'll be all right. Come Monday, I'll be holding you tight.
Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. News, talk, and sports from Vesper to Plover.
Locally Grown, 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Now at Menards, saving money in your next project with 11% off everything. Check out our huge selection of Patriot Lighting ceiling fans. They make a beautiful addition to any room while reducing energy costs year-round. Right now, the Aneta Matte Black 52-inch LED indoor-outdoor ceiling fan is $139.95 after 11% rebate. View all of our ceiling fans in-store or on Menards.com. Good through September 10th. Savings are a mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Choosing where you get your mortgage is important. You may be a home buyer looking for mortgage options or a homeowner looking for a home equity line of credit. That's why you should consider a trusted partner like Members Advantage Credit Union. They can provide low and competitive rates and closing costs with free and easy pre-approval. Visit MembersAdvantageCU.com to learn about home loans or home equity options. That's MembersAdvantageCU.com. Members Advantage Credit Union is an equal housing opportunity lender and federally insured by the NCUA.
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Experience Nightlight, September 8th and 9th from 5 until 10:30 p.m. Presented by Joy Engine. The dazzling spectacle is an immersive 4D light festival taking place in Milwaukee's historic Mitchell Street neighborhood. Digital animations, dance, music, art, and fashion combine to create a visual, family-friendly sensory experience outside of 710 West Historic Mitchell Street, home of Mitchell Street Arts. The event is family-friendly and free to the public. Don't miss this iconic event. Nightlight, where art comes to life. Information at joyengine.org.
A tree can be a warrior, battling global challenges with greater courage. A tree can be a solution, cleaning our air, supporting our communities, and protecting our wildlife. A tree can be noble, growing hope in every corner of the world. That's why now is the time for trees. Millions of trees. Join our planting movement at arborday.org.
Please join the leadership team from Coldwell Banker Siewert Realtors and tune in to Let's Talk Real Estate. Our next show is coming up and we'll be talking about those things that are important to you, whether you're a buyer or seller. So please tune in on Tuesday afternoons at 3:30 where we'll be highlighting all things real estate.
Coldwell Banker Siewert Realtors is your trusted source for real estate solutions. Tuesday afternoon at 3:30 right here on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. High temperatures reach up to 78 this afternoon under mainly clear skies, southwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight, chance for scattered showers, lows dip down to about 56. Overcast skies tomorrow, chance for scattered rain showers, high temperatures reach up to 70. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Vujcicki. Currently, it's 51.
Your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Join the conversation with your favorite hosts or shows anytime. Follow Civic Media on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Share your thoughts on our social media.
We are back here on Morning Cannolis, Saturday, September 9th, 2023. Thank you for joining me in this discussion initially this morning of a major decision in the enforcement of the rule of law in support of the Voting Rights Act of 1965. This three-judge panel in Alabama telling the Alabama legislature that it cannot simply disregard the rulings, the directives of the Supreme Court, and making the decision in the end because they've had two opportunities already to do that and affirmatively chose not to follow the rule of law, that now this three-judge panel appointing what's called a special master and sort of a friend of the court in a different way, who's going to take on the responsibility for doing what the legislature has not done, namely to draw these lines in Alabama in a way that is consistent with federal law. The opinion by the three-judge panel says this: the special master and the cartographer, the map designer, the drawer, if you will, are directed to commence work forthwith on that that remedial plan and instructions on what they're supposed to do will follow this order. In other words, we're going to direct these people as the frontline workers on behalf of this three-judge panel to do what the legislature did not. We're going to ask them, we're going to direct them to put together lines which will then be imposed upon the legislature, the governor, and everyone in Alabama to ensure that voting rights are supported. Raises the issue then down the road once that is done, presumably fairly quickly. What happens then? Well, it's got the enforcement now, both at the Supreme Court and by this three-judge panel. One would hope that no one would pursue additional attempts to undermine what the Supreme Court has said, what the law says in the state of Alabama and nationwide, and that these would be the lines finally, that would be appropriately imposed upon the residents and the clerks and all the voters in the state of Alabama to ensure that that population of African-American voters, black voters in Alabama gets the representation that it deserves under the law. As we well know, Alabama has had a history of noncompliance, of thwarting what the federal government has said in the past. Recall well that in the 1954 decision, Brown versus Board of Education, state of Alabama basically said, nope, we're not, in fact, going to segregate, we're not desegregate schools. We're going to continue segregating black and white schools, the public schools there in Alabama. George Wallace notoriously promising segregation forever. And it was only after the Supreme Court entered a second order called Brown versus Board of Education 2. And yes, indeed, there was some specific enforcement by the attorney general at the time, by the president, who directed that law enforcement authorities ensure that segregation is brought to an end in Alabama, that we moved toward that remedial end. There has been that history. We will see what happens here again in the area of enforcement of civil rights. That's why this is so important, not only to Alabama, not only to our nation, but also right here in the state of Wisconsin. We have got our own voting issues, both historically and presently. The rule of law this past week has prevailed, has told us unequivocally that it means something when courts direct you to engage in activities that ensure voting is complete for all your residents, all the people who are entitled to vote in the particular state. Voting is meaningful. It has power. It has impact. And that's what the decision this past week reaffirms for all of us. Significantly, going over to Florida, another decision, sending the same kinds of messages to all of us. This one coming out of a circuit court judge, a state judge named Lee Marsh. And he is finding that the governor-approved map that, again, did the same thing, a congressional map in Florida, likewise violates the state constitution, according to the Judge Marsh, diminishing the ability of black voters in North Florida to elect representatives of their choice. And he there orders the legislature to draw a new one. So he's going back. He's saying, OK, legislature, I will give you a second opportunity to do the right thing. Again, a real affirmation of voting rights under the law, and also there in Florida. The new map, which was drawn last year, basically had erased a congressional seat for a district where about 46% of voting age residents were black. Basically erased that off of the map entirely. And Al Lawson, who was a black Democrat, represented that district and promptly lost re-election in that newly drawn seat. Perhaps the best evidence of all of the invidious purpose behind doing this line drawing in the way that the legislature did. A circuit court judge there in Florida this past week saying, nope, can't do that. The Voting Rights Act requires more. The state constitution requires more. Do what you are supposed to do and ensure that voting is provided and opportunities to vote afforded to all members of our state. So two significant decisions in the area of voting rights. Important to understand not only the meaning of those as we talk generally about the rule of law in America. Other major issues of just this past week, a lot of this in the news. We're going to get to it in the remainder of this hour and also in the future. We had a major decision coming out of a federal district court in Washington, D.C., imposing a significant sentence on a fellow named Enrique Terrio, again, who is the head of the Proud Boys. We're going to talk about that, the meaning, the significance of that extraordinary 22-year sentence imposed upon him for seditious conspiracy engaging in January 6th. And in connection with January 6th, we're going to revisit right now the indictment coming out of Fulton County, Georgia, brought by Fonnie Willis, who is the DA there, against 19 different individuals for attempting to, not successfully, but attempting to undermine the vote there, to skew the Electoral College vote there, to somehow compromise what legitimate people did in voting and then getting those votes counted in the state of Georgia. We know well, based upon the indictment that we have chatted about in the past, a state court indictment, at 19 different people charged with various charges, including RICO, a racketeer influenced and corrupt organization allegation against these 19 people, 41 counts altogether in that indictment, including influencing witnesses, election fraud, defrauding the state, computer tampering, falsifying documents, forgery, all kinds of things, again, that we have chatted about before. Among the defendants, among the 19 defendants, is a fellow named Mark Meadows. We know that well. Mark Meadows, the former chief of staff of the White House under the Trump administration. And according to the indictment, according to that indictment brought by the indicting grand jury in the state of Georgia not too long ago, Mark Meadows, among the people responsible for this RICO event, this RICO movement to try to stop the proper counting and the proper allocation, if you will, even of voting rights in Georgia that undermined or attempted to undermine the result there. We know in particular that Mark Meadows, as a part of his testimony recently in a federal court there, had testified that Donald Trump directed him to set up that now famous phone call on January 2nd of 2021 between Donald Trump and Brad Raffensperger, who was the Georgia Secretary of State at the time. You may recall, well, that was the call in which the former president said, you know, I need about 12,000 more votes, just enough votes to ensure that I get the electoral votes coming out of the state of Georgia. Meadows testified during the course of a recent hearing in federal court that that was one of the things that he did at the request of the former president. He also testified that he had visited a place called Cobb County, Georgia, where a ballot audit was then taking place. And he went down there, apparently, again, at the encouragement of the former president to try to determine whether or not some election fraud claims were supported. And he indicated during the course of his testimony that he wasn't permitted to go in, wasn't permitted to do that, but plainly reached out to some authorities there to try to, in some way, influence that process as well. And there's more in the indictment against him. Why is this all significant? Well, this past week, again, a major decision, again, enforcing the rule of law, this time again in Georgia, with respect to where that particular indictment as to Mark Meadows is going to be tried. Mark Meadows, in a series of motions filed through his attorneys prior to the hearing of a couple of weeks or so ago, recent days, and specifically before a major decision issued by a federal district court judge just this past week, this major decision on the Mark Meadows petition. What was that petition all about? It was to try to get the state prosecution moved from Fulton County, again, the state venue there, into federal court. And the premise for that decision, that movement, if you will, that decision to petition the court to do that, was that these things that Mark Meadows did at the behest of the former president of the United States of America were things done, wait for it, in the context of his duties and responsibilities as the chief of staff of the White House at the time, things that are required of him by virtue of his appointment to this important spot. Now, we know it very well, based upon our previous discussions, that there is, in fact, a statute, Section 1442. We've talked about a lot that says, you know what, if you are a federal official and you are charged in state court by individuals who led to civil rights violations, other violations of the law, and it is clear that the activities, the events, the circumstances that prompted that state court lawsuit are premised upon things that you did in the course of your duties and your responsibilities as a federal employee, appointed, elected, and otherwise involved in the service to America. If those kinds of things are indeed a part of the assignments given to you in that official capacity, there's a process for removing that, changing the venue, moving it from state court to federal court, and getting the federal court to oversee the prosecution, the litigation of the particular claims against you. There are also things in the Federal Tort Claims Act, other things that require substitution that go beyond what this particular case invokes. But the notion is that there is that process. The premise of it, once again, is you've got to be able to establish that your petition, your motion to the federal judge to get that case removed is based upon the notion that what you did, whatever it was that you allegedly engaged in, that was done by virtue of the assignment given to you by the people, whether through the elected process, the appointed process, to do something in your duties and responsibilities, color of law. And here, let me offer this perspective, which I advanced last week as well, that the position taken by Mark Meadows in petitioning the court for this removal is absolutely absurd. There is no there. This is not a close question at all. And then the federal district court judge appropriately listened to all this testimony, accepted the motion as he is required to do, listened to the testimony, gave some consideration to it, and yes, this past week, found unequivocally, as Judge Jones, Stephen Jones of the Northern District of Georgia found, he said there's no federal jurisdiction over this criminal case. The outcome of this case will be for a Fulton County, a state court judge, and trier of fact to ultimately decide. He rejected out of hand, in a very lengthy opinion, going through all the statements, all the positions articulated, advanced by Mark Meadows in oral statements and then in written presentations to him, rejected all of them, finding once again that the activities in which he engaged were certainly not those kinds of things you would contemplate would be assigned to a federal employee in the course of their regular duties and responsibilities. Specifically, Judge Jones found that much of this was campaign-related in nature, political in nature, not a part of your normal assignments as a federal officer. Also indicated more than around the edges that the allegations in any event are not only that these are campaign events, but they may have been illegal. And certainly under the statute, under federal law, the notion that you somehow get to remove allegations of criminal activity not done in the course of your duties and responsibilities from a state court to a federal court, that would be your position is absurd. And one of the reasons why this is important, number one, is not only for the conclusion which Judge Jones comes to in this expansive decision, excellent to read, understandable, accessible, not only around the edges, but right in the middle of its core meanings and import, significant not only to ensure that this case remains where it should, which is prosecution of state offenses in state court, but also does a couple other things. Number one is it sends messages to others among the 19 also charged by Fannie Willis that unlikely their cases will receive this reception by a federal district court judge. Mark Meadows arguably had the best case of all, and it wasn't very strong at all. When we come back after this break, I'm going to talk more about why this is significant, Mark Meadows, other defendants, and more broadly, the focus on all of us on understanding what's really going on in Georgia in this connection, and also another major news story coming out of Fulton County just this past week. Stay with us for that all-important discussion.
Experience Nightlight, September 8th and 9th from 5 until 10:30 p.m. Presented by Joy Engine. The dazzling spectacle is an immersive 4D light festival taking place in Milwaukee's historic Mitchell Street neighborhood. Digital animations, dance, music, art, and fashion combine to create a visual, family-friendly sensory experience outside of 710 West Historic Mitchell Street, home of Mitchell Street Arts. The event is family-friendly and free to the public. Don't miss this iconic event. Nightlight, where art comes to life. Information at joyengine.org.
The school year is starting soon. Whether at home or in the classroom, Family Natural Foods can help support health and success. All natural products can help boost your immune health and be your first lines of defense for both you and the kids. Maybe your child needs help focusing and concentrating. Ask about natural alternatives from Terry Naturally. Prepare now for a successful, healthy school year at Family Natural Foods, West Grand Avenue, Wisconsin Rapids.
Are you looking for help with nutrition? WFHR's current sponsor for the Kitchen's Open segment, the Southwood County YMCA, has a variety of options. Sign up for their 5-week Prevent and Thrive with Diabetes class that starts October 18th. Lunch and learn the last Wednesday of the month and watch delicious, healthy meals being prepared that you then get to eat. Visit their website, swcymca.org, to see the full list of classes and register, or call 715-818-9266.
Trying to lose weight and get healthy naturally? Stoiber Healthcare can help.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 8 weeks eating real food without dangerous drugs or exercise. Call Stoiber Healthcare at 715-424-4646 for a free consultation today.
It's not just about the barrels in construction. Highway projects are community investments. So do your part. Stay alert, eliminate distractions, and mind your speed. Every driver makes a difference. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. Locally grown radio is 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Chance for scattered thunderstorms Monday. Chance for scattered showers Tuesday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 6.
And we are back in this last segment of our first hour here on Morning Cannolis, talking now about the latest developments just this past week coming out of Fulton County, Georgia, in particular, this important decision, a procedural decision affirming what needed to happen under the rule of law, finding that indeed the motion of the former chief of staff, Mark Meadows, to move his case from state court into federal court should be denied. The point about this is there was no significant question here. This is not a close question. The judge did what he needed to do, entertained the arguments, both oral and written, and made the conclusion, came to the conclusion, that indeed Mark Meadows' petition was unfounded, no basis upon which to do this at all, sending the message not only to him that he will remain in state court, but there are others who likewise want to follow that road as well. They have less compelling cases than even Mark Meadows did. Unlikely, highly unlikely, we'll go out on a limb here and even predict, impossible to believe that anybody is going to be successful in petitioning this federal district court or another court to get that case moved from state court into federal court. And that underscores a larger issue here, which is an awful lot of this is in the category of absurd. This is stuff that's sort of beyond the pale when it comes to arguments that are legitimate, which the federal district courts, the state courts, should entertain on a regular basis. This is not one of them. And I think it's important for all of us to appreciate that. We see more and more in some of the litigation going on this notion that all of these absurd principles and these arguments indeed should get a full exposure and a full exposition in the courts. But nonetheless, they're premised upon absolutely positively baseless theories. We saw this past year or so when the Supreme Court entertained the notion that state courts have no involvement in deciding voting disputes, that involving a case called Moore versus Harper. You remember this well. We talked about this a lot. The independent state legislature theory. Again, a crazy theory, a theory that is not at all supported by the Constitution, by any legal principles, and yet it's advanced and it receives its day in court, as it should, given what our courts are required to do. But the long-lasting, the residual concern that I and others have about this is it tends to send this message that all of these unsupported, completely ridiculous theories have some weight to them. And this is just a matter of judges weighing and sifting to determine whether or not, indeed, these particular positions should be advanced here Here, you're not even close. You're not even close. And America needs to understand that this is not one of those petitions. When it comes to things like guilt and innocence, absolutely. That's the ultimate decision that a jury will make as to all 19. Decisions about what evidence comes in and what doesn't come in, all of that, incredibly important. And those are material, and there can be reasonable people arguing about reasonable positions on those. And reasonable people can even disagree. That's why we have judges in the end to make those determinations. But more and more in America, in our courts, we've got these advocates, we've got lawyers, yes, indeed, we've got parties, including the former president, including others, articulating positions in our federal and state courts that have no basis in law and in fact at all. And it's important to label them as such. And when we engage in discussions, as we do here on this broadcast and in private and in personal discussions, individual discussions, group discussions, important to identify those things about which reasonable people can disagree and which there can be disputes and those that are not. This, once again, this past week, not a close question. A reason to appreciate and embrace the rule of law, not necessarily a reason to celebrate anything here, because it simply confirms that, yes, indeed, the sun rises in the east, as indeed it continues to do. Mark Meadows told this past week his petition is without any merit, and he remains in state court, as do others. A significant other issue coming out, again, out of Fulton County just this past week, and that is this release by the court there of the transcript, the records, the report of the investigative grand jury that was doing all this work last year and times before that to determine what happened in Georgia. You may recall well that this investigative grand jury was looking at great numbers of witnesses. 75 witnesses altogether came before the grand jury there in Fulton County, describing various things that happened, much of which, not all of which, but much of which made its way into the indictment issued ultimately by an indicting grand jury, a second grand jury in Fulton County. And that's the predicate, that's the document that we now see in the state court there that Fannie Willis is prosecuting. But just this past week, this final report of the investigative grand jury was unsealed by a judge in Friday, just yesterday. And the panel, interestingly, as a result of the disclosure of this information, this report coming out of this investigative grand jury's work, found that there were a number of people, almost 20 or so, that were not indicted by the investigative grand jury, who were recommended for indictment by the investigative grand jury, not indicted by the indicting grand jury. And among those people, Senator Lindsey Graham, for his entreaties, his engagement with some folks in Georgia, and also former Senators David Perdue, Kelly Loeffler, others in Georgia, Michael Flynn, the former National Security Advisor, all of these folks, again, described in this report for their involvement in matters related to trying to undermine the vote as it was taking place in Georgia. Now, why is this significant? Why is this also a rule of law issue to understand in our continuing work on civics here on Morning Cannolis? Well, it's important because it not only describes what the process there in Georgia is, that is, its investigative grand jury, during this very expansive focus on all these things that happened, including the involvement of something in excess of 40 people altogether involved in this attempt to undermine the election, the voting there in Georgia. Important to understand that process and the way that the Georgia law works, because, again, we're all now in this national focus on the civics of our nation, including the state of Georgia. But also important to note what the grand jury there did. The indicting grand jury accepts and reviews and takes this investigative report from the investigative grand jury and chooses in its discretion not to indict everyone who's recommended. Now, what are the reasons for that? What could be going on here? A number of different things also to be understood as we try to make sense of what's going on in Georgia. We know that 19 of those 40 people were indeed indicted. That includes the former president and many other people, Mark Meadows among them. But we also know that many people, including some of the false electors, others involved, these former federal senators, Senator Lindsey Graham, Michael Flynn, some of the other Trump-aligned lawyers, Cleta Mitchell, Lynn Wood, all those folks also not indicted, probably by virtue of exercises of discretion by the prosecutor, Fani Willis, there. She has a great responsibility, not only in terms of organizing the investigation, presenting it to an investigative and then indicting grand jury, but also making discretionary decisions in her role as the prosecutor. And we come back in our second hour here on Morning Cannolis. We're going to talk more about the role of a prosecutor, because this story this past week raises that issue, identifies yet another thing to understand about civics in America, the role of the grand juries, the role of prosecutors, and the discretion necessarily exercised by prosecutors to ensure that the rule of law is advanced. Stay with us for that second hour coming up right after this break.
Kids across America are going to school hungry. Millions of kids every day. Hungry kids get sick more often and can struggle in school. It can be harder for them to focus and learn. But one simple thing can help change all of this for a hungry child in America. Good healthy food and the energy it brings. With help from caring people across America, No Kid Hungry is providing healthy meals and hope to hungry kids so they can build better futures.
We want to ensure that all of our kids have healthy meals every day.
Thank you.
Thank you for helping feed our kids.
To learn more about ending child hunger in America, go to helpnokidhungry.org today.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From Lakeway Z.